Please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. My subject today is the first commandment of all. But before we consider this subject, let us read down some verses at the beginning of Exodus chapter 20. And we'll commence our reading at the verse 1. Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer and let us seek the Lord's face as we come to consider God's word this afternoon. Father in heaven, we bow again before thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Saviour. We thank thee for thy word that is before us today. And O God, we do pray that you would take your word and speak to all of our hearts. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of being in God's house this Lord's day. And O God, we pray now as we turn to the sacred page that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. O God, we're so conscious that without thee we can do nothing. But O God, we thank thee that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And Lord, we pray today for a fresh endowment of power. And we ask thee, O God, that you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth, and that the word would come with freshness to our hearts and with power to our souls. May we not just hear the voice of a preacher, the voice of a man, but O God, far and above that, we pray that we might hear the still small voice of God speaking to us, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, teach us thy way. O God, we pray that you would speak to all of our hearts just now. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In Exodus chapter 20, when Moses stood on the top of Mount Sinai, it was the fulfillment of a promise that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. In Exodus 3 verse 12, when Moses stood at the burning bush, God said to Moses, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God on this mountain. Therefore, in Exodus 20, Moses was now standing on the same mountain as he was standing on in Exodus chapter 3. Indeed, as I have said, Exodus 20 records the fulfillment of God's promise to Moses that he would stand on this very mountain again. And of course, child of God, you and I know that God always keeps his word. On Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. We learned that last Sunday night. This afternoon, I want to draw your attention to the first commandment. Take a look at Exodus 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's not my purpose, it's not my intention at this time to study the Ten Commandments one by one. Perhaps we'll do that on another occasion. This, after all, is a study in the life and times of Moses. In these studies, we have in the main looked at the character of Moses and how the Lord used him in his life. And we have seen in our last study how the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments on the top of Mount Sinai and the importance of those Ten Commandments, not only in relation to Israel, but in relation to every generation. However, although we will not be going through the Ten Commandments individually at this time, I do feel led to draw your attention to the first commandment. As we're going to find out today, the first commandment that God gave to Moses for the nation of Israel to observe was a commandment that was quite unique. All the commandments, of course, are important because they were given by God. But the first commandment, because of what it says and because of its prominent position, standing first in the list of ten, makes this commandment of the utmost importance. And I believe that there's a message here for each and every one of us that are gathered in God's house this afternoon. And I do pray that the Lord again will take his word and write his word upon our hearts and upon our souls. There are three things, very simply, that I want to say as I draw your attention to the first commandment. First of all, the first commandment is the greatest commandment of all. Turn over just for a moment to Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, one of the scribes asked Christ, which is the first commandment of all? Or, which is the greatest commandment of all? And in verse 29 and 30 of Mark chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ gives this answer. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ, in answer to the scribe's question, quotes the first commandment. Men and women, the first commandment is the greatest commandment of all. Now, I'm sure you're aware that the first commandment has to do with man's love and devotion to God. If we do not have God in the proper place in our hearts and lives, then all the rest of the commandments will not be viewed properly. One commentator said, in order to have good laws, God must be the basis and foundation upon which all laws are made. Men lose their bearing when God is not the basis of their thinking. And I agree with that statement 100%. Therefore, the priority of the first commandment is that God must have no rivals in our hearts and in our lives. We must love him first, and we must love him most. God must be first in our worship, and he must be first in our devotion. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said to his disciples, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, man's greatest priority is to put God first. And I believe that is the teaching, the simple but clear teaching of the first commandment. We know the catechism asks the question, what is man's chief end? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Therefore, if the greatest priority is to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds and with all our strength, then the first commandment is the greatest commandment of all. Therefore, here's the question. Do you, do I, do we put God first in everything that we do? Do we love the Lord, our God, with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds and with all our strength? Every minute of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. And have we done that all of our lives? Well, of course, the answer to this question is no, we do not and we have not. The truth is, we have all broken this commandment. We're all guilty of breaking the greatest commandment of all. Because if we have loved anything at any time during our lives more than we have loved God, then we have broken the first commandment. Now, I don't think there's anyone here today who would stand up in this church and say that they have always, from the day they were born to now, that they have always loved the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind and with all their strength. The truth is, and it's a solemn truth, but it is a truth nevertheless, that you and I, we have all broken the first commandment. And if we have all broken the first commandment, as we surely have, then we have all broken the greatest commandment of all. Now, I want that to sink down into your heart. I want you to think about that. Because it's so important that you make that conclusion. If the first commandment is the greatest commandment, and it is, then we have broken this greatest of all the commandments. Now, the second thing I want to say is this. If we break the first commandment, which is the greatest commandment of all, then we have committed the greatest sin of all. Now, it stands to reason, if you and I have broken the greatest of all the commandments, then we have committed the greatest sin of all. Surely, if the greatest commandment is the first commandment, then the greatest sin is breaking this commandment. Isn't that right? You see, the greatest sin of all is to refuse to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds and with all our strength. The greatest sin of all is to refuse to put God first in our lives. If I was to go out and question 100 people around Enniskillen and ask them, in their opinion, what is the greatest crime that a man can commit, I wonder what those 100 people would say. I think I would get various answers. Some might say that the greatest crime a man can commit is murder, and there's no doubt that murder is a heinous crime. Some might say that adultery is the greatest crime that a person can commit, and there's no doubt that adultery is a heinous crime. Some might say that the sin of sodomy is the greatest crime that a man can commit. And there's no doubt that the Word of God condemns sodomy as a heinous sin. Some might say child abuse. I might get 100 different answers. But there's one answer that I would not get. Not one of those 100 people, in my opinion, would say that the greatest crime that a man can commit is refusing to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. Not one of them 100 people would say that breaking the first commandment was the greatest sin that a man can commit. In fact, most of them mightn't even be able to quote you the first commandment. And yet the fact of the matter is this. If the first commandment is the greatest of all the commandments, then the breaking of this commandment means that we have committed the greatest sin of all. Can you disagree with me up until this point? I don't think you can. My friend, the first commandment is the greatest commandment. We have all broken the first commandment. Therefore, we are all guilty of committing the greatest sin of all. Turn over with me for a moment to Exodus chapter 32. Keep your hand in Exodus chapter 20. Turn over to Exodus chapter 32. Look with me there at verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. The children of Israel here, they break the first commandment. Indeed, they break the second commandment. And when you read on down the chapter, they break many of the other commandments as well. But you'll notice here that they certainly break the first commandment because they make themselves idols and they worship them. And we can see that when we read this passage of Scripture. In other words, they're not loving God now with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind and with all their strength. Their affections and love have been turned to these idols. And now, these idols that they have set up, they are loving them more than they're loving God. So, they break the first commandment. But the point I want to make is this, that the children of Israel had stopped loving the Lord with all their heart. Something else had taken the affection of their God. They had broken the first commandment, but look what Moses said to them because they had broken the first commandment. Look with me there at verse 30 of Exodus chapter 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, or verse 30 rather, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin. Now I want you to underline that little phrase. Ye have sinned a great sin. The word great implies greatest. In other words, the children of Israel had committed the greatest of sins. They could commit no greater sin, in other words, than the sin that they had just committed. What Moses was saying here was this, because you have broken the first commandment, you have committed the greatest of sins. And Moses is pointing out there the greatness of the sin that they had committed. There's another example of this, of the children of Israel breaking the first commandment. And this sin described in 2 Kings chapter 17. Just turn over to 2 Kings chapter 17 for a moment. And I want you to take a look there at a number of verses. Obviously, we can't read the whole chapter, but if you take the time to read the whole chapter, you will read in the context that the children of Israel are again worshipping idols. They're breaking the first commandment, they're breaking the second commandment, and they're breaking many other of the commandments as well. But notice verse 12, for they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, Ye shall not do this thing. Take a look at verse 20. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam, listen to it, drove Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. Underline those words again. Made them sin a great sin. Israel had stopped loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind and strength. And because of this, they had committed the greatest of sins. Now, I drew your attention to those two examples, just to show you the greatness of the sin that the children of Israel committed when they broke the first commandments. You see, men and women, when we break the first commandment, when we refuse to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds and with all our strength, when we refuse to put God first in our lives and everything, we commit the greatest sin of all. Now, I want to say something else here, and I want you to listen very carefully. Thirdly, if we commit the greatest sin of all by breaking the greatest commandment of all, then we deserve the greatest judgment of all. Would you agree with that? Again, this is the logical conclusion. Committing the greatest sin deserves the greatest punishment. Turn over just for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 32, because I want you to notice something here. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses is reminding the children of Israel what the Lord had done for them in bringing them out of Egypt. But Moses also reminded the children of Israel how they had broken the first commandment as they had journeyed from Egypt to the promised land. Look at Deuteronomy 32 and the verse 16. It says, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. He's reminding them here of how they had turned away their love from the Lord and how they had started to serve strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Now, Moses not only reminded them here of how their fathers had served these false gods and turned away from the Lord, and how they had broken the first commandment, but Moses also reminded them of the judgment they deserved because they had broken the first commandment. Now, what type of judgment do you think they deserved? That's a question that I asked you today. Surely, if the first commandment is the greatest commandment of all, and the breaking of the first commandment is the greatest sin of all, then the judgment that one receives should be the greatest judgment of all. And look here, look at verse 22, what Moses said. He said this, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. Underline it. Underline that little phrase there. The lowest hell. The lowest hell is the greatest judgment of all. Those who break the greatest commandment will receive the greatest judgment. I believe that's what Moses here is teaching. And I believe that's what the Word of God here is declaring. Men and women, there's no doubt that when you study the Bible, there are degrees of punishment in hell. The Lord Jesus Christ himself taught this when he walked upon this earth. Keep your hand in Exodus chapter 20 there again, and turn over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 11, and you will see this. The Lord Jesus here in his public ministry, and here the Lord Jesus, he comes to speak about the people of Chorazin and the people of Bethsaida, and he comes to speak about the people of Capernaum. Now, these people in these cities were greatly blessed. And they were greatly blessed because they had his presence with them. God manifest in the flesh was in their very presence. And of course, these people in these cities rejected the God of heaven in Christ. They would not accept that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They would not accept him as the Son of God. And because they refused to accept him as the Son of God, they refused to worship him. They refused to love him. They refused to honor him. Therefore, they broke the first commandment. And look what the Lord Jesus says to them in verse 21. Woe unto thee, Matthew 11:21, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now underline verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon. In other words, the judgment of Tyre and Sidon was not going to be as great as the judgment that would fall upon Chorazin and Bethsaida. He says here, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Now look at verse 23. And thou, Capernaum. Oh, in Capernaum the Lord had performed many miracles. In Capernaum the Lord had preached the gospel in power. But the people of Capernaum had rejected him. They had rejected him as the Son of God. They had rejected him as the Messiah. They had broken the first commandment. They refused to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind. And look what Jesus said. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven with blessing and with privilege, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom. Look, he compares them with Sodom. It would have remained unto this day. In other words, the judgment that the people of Capernaum were going to receive in eternity was going to be far greater than the judgment of the Sodomites in Sodom. My friend, solemn teaching, isn't it? Solemn teaching, but it's the Word of God. There are those in this meeting today, and you're not saved, and you've broken the first commandment. Because you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And you're committing the greatest sin of all. And if you die in the spiritual state that you're in, you will receive the greatest judgment of all, because you will be cast down into the lowest hell. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's what the Word of God declares. You see, here's the reason. Here's the reason why you and I need a Savior. Here's the reason why you and I need a Redeemer. So that our sins may be forgiven. And of course, as we preach from this pulpit, Jesus Christ is that only Savior and that only Redeemer. He's the only one who can forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from our iniquities. As I have said, let me say it again. We have all broken the first commandment. The only difference is this. There are those here this morning who have turned to Christ for salvation and trusted in Him alone for redemption, realizing that they cannot save themselves when it comes to the judgment day, and they have cast themselves upon Him. And yet there are others here today who refuse to do so. Oh, my friend, let me finish today by saying this, that there is a Savior from all sin. From all sin. Even those who today have committed the greatest of sins. Thank God there is one who is able to cleanse us from every sin, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Matthew 9 and verse 6. These wonderful words, but that ye may know that the Son of Man, speaking of Christ, hath power on earth to forgive sins. And of course, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon this scene of time, He not only had the power to forgive sins, but He forgives sins. And on this occasion, we have the Lord Jesus forgiving the sins of a sick man, because He said unto this sick man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And that man was not only physically healed that day, but he was spiritually healed, and he received forgiveness for his sins. And that man, like us today, had broken the first commandment. But when he saw Christ, he recognized who Christ was, that he was the sinless, spotless Son of God, that he was the Messiah of Israel, that he was God manifest in the flesh. You see, when we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds and with all our strength, then we're loving God because he is God. He's the God-man. Oh, my friend, tell me today, do you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind and strength? Have you trusted him as your own and personal Redeemer? Why is Christ the one, the only one who can forgive sins? Because of his person and who he is. Because of his death and what he has done upon the cross of Calvary. Because of his resurrection. And because he ever lives to make intercession for his people. And thank God today, that's the wonderful message of the gospel. I wonder today, will you recognize that before God you are a sinner? My friend, these are basic truths concerning the gospel. But they're truths that if you and I want to be saved and get into heaven, we need to acknowledge and we need to understand. I fear for people who come to church every week and every month and every year and listen to the gospel, listen to the word of God, and yet they never seem to come to that understanding that they personally are the sinner. My friend, you are the sinner. You individually are the one that has broken the first commandment. You individually are the one that refuses to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind. That's why today you need individually to repent of your sin, to turn from your sin, and to seek the Lord and ask him for forgiveness and cleansing. Thank God there is forgiveness today, and there is cleansing at the cross. You say to me, preacher, I don't set up idols and bow down to them. My friend, you don't need to set up an idol, literally, and bow down to it in order to break the first commandment. If you love your job more than you love God, you've broken the first commandment. Woman, if you love your house and your family more than you love God, you've broken the first commandment. Farmer, if you love them cows more than you love God, you've broken the first commandment. Young person, if you love your girlfriend more than you love God, you've broken the first commandment. If you love your boyfriend more than you love God, you've broken the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Tell me, what do you love more than God today? What is the idol in your heart? That's the question. What is the idol in your heart? Oh, I pray that God will come and speak to all of our souls. And even those of us who are saved. Let us continually remember that we must put God first in our lives and in our homes and in our families. That verse goes on to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these other things may be added unto you. The Lord Jesus, when he walked upon this scene of time, he declared that the greatest commandment of all was the first commandment. Oh, my friend, I pray today that we will turn afresh to the Lord and that we will realize that we have only one life. It'll soon be past. And only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. And may we give him all of our hearts, all of our hearts this day, and serve him, because soon we are going to meet him and we're going to stand before the God who gave Moses these commandments. And what a solemn day that will be. Let us all pray.